So do you know why the Daily Word today was animal blessing? Because yesterday was the birthday of St. Francis. 1226 he was born in. And a lot of churches do animal blessings on his birthday, around the first weekend of October. And I've thought about doing that here. I don't see how we could combine it with a Sunday, so be my focus group for a minute. Would you want an animal blessing, and would you bring your animals, say, on a Saturday morning or afternoon?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That can be arranged. It's a lot of fun. And when I, well, now, Weezer doesn't have to come. When I've done it before, we put out a kind of a cookie jar ahead of time, and if you have an animal who really would prefer not to come and be blessed, you can just put their name in there, and we'll include them in the blessing too. So my cats feel the same way. So we've been marching through these 10 steps to healing, based on the work of Unity's founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and a few others, mainly around the turn of the last century. We started with joy. Joy heals. And also a sense of oneness with all that is. Then we talked about the power of words and how to use them as affirmations and denials, which are statements of truth. Last week was non-resistance and non-attachment. It is not easy to let go of outcomes when you're sick, or just to accept whatever comes into your life. That's spiritual grad school. Today's steps are so familiar and obvious that it's easy to forget how powerful they are. Forgiveness and prayer. They're not just powerful, but practical, because we can now prove that forgiveness and prayer have healing power. Hundreds of scientific studies have been done. Did you know research on prayer and healing has doubled in the last decade? You know about the relaxation response. So whether it's meditation or praying the rosary or any other method to get still, your heart rate slows, your blood pressure goes down, your breathing is more regular. That's especially useful to know since we know so much illness is caused or made worse by stress. We also know from studies that regular churchgoers have shorter hospital stays, are more likely to recover from heart surgery, have fewer strokes and fewer deaths from cancer. They are depressed less often and recover more quickly. The Pew Research Center says more than half of Americans say they pray every day. 85% pray when they're facing a major illness. Praying for each other is healthy too. Turns out people who pray for others are less likely to lose their temper. It brings people together, it enhances trust, and people who pray for others, this was really interesting, are less likely to stress out about money. You pray for other people, you don't worry as much about your own money. Isn't that interesting? Praying to have more money does not ease stress, according to the studies. And people who pray for others are more likely to forgive others. And the health benefits of forgiveness are all the same, with the addition of healthier relationships and better spiritual and psychological well-being, according to the Mayo Clinic. All this in an area where it's hard to design a good study. I mean, how do you measure feelings of deep peace and oneness? What do you tell the control group? Don't you feel good about anything? No oneness for you. So before we had scientific studies to tell us that prayer and forgiveness are good for our health, Unity's founders knew this as spiritual law, and they wrote about it extensively. So let's start with forgiveness. We've talked a lot about forgiveness this year. Remember, there are two kinds of forgiveness. Traditional forgiveness is when you make a decision to let it go. You will be happier and healthier if you're not carrying around anger, resentment, or hatred. Metaphysical forgiveness, and that's my name for it, is when you recognize the good in it, that whatever happened, happened for you, and ultimately no harm was done. I think of that as a fairly New Age idea, so I was a little surprised surprised to go back and read that the Fillmores were writing about that 100 years ago, about seeing the good in all things. They both said, "It's all in the way you think about it." Myrtle said, "All of us are children, experimenting and trying to use what God has given us, so we inevitably bump against each other. But you can remember to see the divine in other people." And she believed that actually evokes a change in them. Forgiveness is not making the best of a situation while silently resenting it. Myrtle said, "Life isn't fair, but there is infinite justice. So don't worry about punishment for others. We are punished by our sins, not for them. That means what goes around will come around for other people. But when viewed with love and understanding," Myrtle said, "you will see that no wrong was intended and no wrong was done. You can be flooded with light and gratitude for the good to come from it. You will learn to drop all thoughts of anything contrary to good. There is only one presence and one power, God." You know, that saying came from Myrtle. She says in this book, How to Let God Help You, "All of man's troubles have come as a result of a belief in evil, belief that there are places where God is not, belief that God dwells in a remote heaven and that the earth is very different from his nature." It isn't different. We're just not living to our full divine potential. If someone does wrong or even harms you, Myrtle says, bless him, knowing that he is not yet in his Christ power, not living in divine consciousness. The world we see is an outpicturing of our minds, and we are gradually unfolding the mind of God through us. So, Myrtle said, cease to condemn anything in yourself or on the earth. It's all God and it's all good. She said, resurrection and transfiguration are continuing processes for us as we wake up and live by our highest light. That's just the way Myrtle talked. Charles Fillmore said the same things, but differently. He agreed it's all about our thoughts, and he wrote about it in terms of self-forgiveness. He insisted that sickness is the result of sin. He said that's why Jesus sometimes healed people by saying, your sins are forgiven. But remember, Charles Fillmore had a particular definition of sin: missing the mark, failing to live up to the divine standard. Sin is falling short of divine law. To repent means to change your thinking. Self-forgiveness is a change of mind or repentance. So to change your error thoughts, repent of sin. And that's the way you come into harmony with the law. Charles said, change thoughts of sickness to thoughts of health, and divine law rushes in to begin the healing process. Like Myrtle, Charles equated his sickness with his old consciousness, his lower level of awareness. And once he learned these principles, he got better. So it's probably not a surprise that he saw in Jesus' teachings that sin results in sickness. Jesus was forgiving error thoughts of the past that had led to illness. When he said, your sins are forgiven, he was wiping the slate clean in them. And I can see that. But as I said last week, it sounds a little unfair to say, well, sickness is caused by sin, because lots of good spiritual people get sick. So remember, the Fillmores were talking about pure principle, that if we could hold perfectly healthy thoughts, we would not be sick. If we truly knew our own divinity, if we could shut out mass consciousness and fear, if we could hold to the truth of our divine nature, Charles thought we could live in these bodies forever. I don't think so. I don't think we're supposed to. We do live forever, but I believe there are many places to go and things to do besides being a human on the earth. We have eternity to fill. So one more thing about forgiveness from Emily Cady, who wrote Lessons in Truth when Unity was brand new in the late 1800s. It's that book, Lessons in Truth, that we'll be studying on Wednesday afternoons starting October 21st. And she offered a forgiveness exercise. She said to forgive means to give for. So you're not just releasing something, you're putting something better in its place. So she said, give good for evil. And this is how. This is from a different book of hers called God, a Present Help. She said, if you think you've been wronged by anyone, sit down quietly in your own room and speak out to this person silently. Tell him that you forgive him for the sake of the Christ in him. Tell him that you love him in return for anything he may have given you. And keep telling him you love him until you begin to feel what you're saying. Believe me, he, 1,000 miles away, will hear your message and be melted by it. For it will travel to him via heaven, and it cannot miss the way. And then she says, if you have ill will toward anyone, if you're prejudiced against anyone, if you've accused anyone, even in your silent thought of injustice, and I've had to add groups to this, political parties, news outlets, certain candidates. She says, if you have criticized anyone, sit down alone at night before retiring and mentally ask him to forgive you. Calling him by name, silently confess to him what you've done and ask his forgiveness. Telling him as you do the others over and over again that you love him and are sure there is nothing but God's perfect love between you. Never retire until you have thus definitely cleaned the slate. As regards yourself and every other human being, definitely forgiven, given love for everyone. Keep at this until all the tightened cords that have been cutting off the free flow of God's love and life through you are loosened, until a habit of forgiving is established in you. Sometimes I might be up all night if I did that. But while you're sitting quietly in your room doing your forgiveness work, let's talk about prayer. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore both believed prayer had healed their bodies. They founded Silent Unity, which is still praying with people who call and write 24 hours a day, every day of the year, for 125 years now. The number in the U.S. is 1-800-NOW-PRAY. And by far, the majority of prayer requests to Silent Unity are for healing. The Fillmores wrote about why to pray as well as how to pray. So why? Myrtle wrote in Healing Letters, God is the one perfect life flowing through us. God is the one pure substance out of which our organism is formed. She said the only thing that can block that flow are your own thoughts of lack and limitation. You cannot listen to God while your ear is given to your affairs. You can gain nothing by incessantly milling around in negative thoughts. She said, focus on the Christ within you until you can be still and know that I am God. She said, as we pray, the word of life is going into us, breaking up old fixed beliefs and reorganizing our lives. Old fixed beliefs cause illness, the Fillmores thought. And prayer is about the power of words. Charles said it shows up in all religions. I mean, think of Jewish men and their phylacteries. They write prayers and put them in little leather boxes and then strap them to their bodies. The Buddhists have their prayer flags. In Jesus Christ Heals, Charles asked, why pray if God is all there is? And he answered, because prayer brings potential into manifestation. We're asking for what we know is waiting. So he said this in Jesus Christ Heals, God is a great mind reservoir that has to be tapped by man's mind and poured into visibility through thought or word. If the mind of man is clogged with doubt, lethargy, or fear, he must open the way by persistent knocking and asking. Pray without ceasing. Charles was very big on persistent prayer. And he said prayers for healing are most quickly answered. The reason for this, he said, is that the natural laws that create and sustain the body are really divine laws. And when man asks for the intervention of God in restoring health, he is calling into action the natural forces of his being. Charles said, if health is your natural state, then you can pray with confidence. He said, the agonizing, supplicating, begging prayer is not answered because the thoughts are so turbulent that divine mind cannot reach the pleader. Jesus prayed with a confident assurance that what he wanted would be granted, and he established a mode of prayer for his followers that never fails. So remember, we're not talking about God out there deciding whether to say yes or no to whatever you're asking. Every idea is fulfilled as soon as it is conceived. That's the law. All that remains is for you to open yourself to receive it. It has to unfold in time and space for us, but it's already available. So remember to state your desires in present tense. I am health, I am love. Not in the future, I will be well. That keeps it in the future. And of course, if you pray thinking you don't deserve it, you won't get it because you are not open to receive it. Myrtle reminded people in her letters that our thoughts create our bodies. She said, whatever we register as negative is stamped in our flesh. She said, any thought of the flesh other than of God's pure substance congests and irritates the body. And she's right. Your body hears every word you say about it and works to comply. So she talked about how to pray. Go into your inner chamber. She called it the secret place of the Most High. And affirm, God's perfect idea of me is now building a perfect body, and I am satisfied. God's perfect idea of me is building a perfect body, and I am satisfied. God builds our perfect bodies from within. Our divine potential is like an acorn that carries the potential of an oak tree. We might even be saplings now. And saplings are perfect as they are, and they still have more potential for growth. Myrtle spent 2 years healing her body with prayer. She knew a lot about it. But she said over and over, it's not just prayer. You really have to take care of your physical body. It's living habits, plus true ideas of life and power. She said, we forget that our bodies are temples for the use of the Holy Spirit. She also said over and over, not to let your thoughts during the day ruin your prayers. Hold on to all you gain on the mountaintop of prayer, she said, and take it into your daily life. And don't let go of it when you meet circumstances on the material plane that seem to contradict it. Sometimes she wrote letters to God. Write it all down, she said, then let it go and get on with your life. Have you done that? I've done that with a God box. You write it on a slip of paper and put it in a little box. And then whenever you think about it, you can remember, oh, that's being handled. Myrtle said, radiate happiness and inspiration, and you will draw to you what you need. Charles said, prayer is not just asking for things. When Jesus prayed all night, he was not presenting a long list of demands, like a letter to Santa Claus. Prayer comprises asking and receiving, affirmations and denials, meditation and concentration. Open your mind and know that God already knows what you need. And Charles said, this is how. Get still and think about the inexhaustible resources of infinite mind, its presence in all its fullness, and its constant readiness to manifest itself when its laws are complied with. This is what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This being true, Charles said, we should ask and at the same time give thanks that we have already received. Charles was big on gratitude. He said, don't forget praise and thanksgiving. Praise your body. Give it words of encouragement and appreciation. I mean, even plants grow better when they're praised. So turn the power of praise on whatever you wish to increase. Kind of the way you try to catch children doing something right and praise the behavior you want. You can talk to your body like a child. You climbed those stairs so well. Thank you for carrying me all over Target. That was a lot of walking. And be grateful. Charles Fillmore said, prayer should be jubilant thanksgiving, that gratitude draws out our spiritual qualities and transforms us. Prayer, he said, awakens the spiritual consciousness and sets into perpetual glow the core of the soul. Prayer and forgiveness does a body good. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So let's become mindful of our bodies by taking a big cleansing breath and finding that space in the chair where we're balanced. We're not holding on to anything in our hands. Feet flat on the floor, grounding. Grounding to earth. Letting our breath just fall into its natural rhythm. Begin to bring your attention to your heart space. And let's begin a practice. Bring someone or something to mind that you know you are hanging on to, that you know you would like to forgive, that your deeper soul knows you need to forgive for your peace of mind. And bring that person fully into view. And perhaps they didn't ever do anything specifically to you, but you feel in some way that they have affected you negatively. Breathe into your heart space. Look them fully in the eyes. Silently to yourself, say their name. And then silently to yourself, say, I love you. I see the Christ in you. And if you feel any tightness, just continue to breathe into that heart space. Continue to send that person love. Deep, unabiding, unconditional. You too have a spirit, the Christ within you, the Namaste. So that if your ego self still feels a little tense, turn it over to the higher self. Continue to bless. Continue to send love. Continue to say their name when you say, "I love you." Breathe into your heart space. Let go. See that healing white light around your heart, filling you, healing you, expanding you as the Christ consciousness that you are. See yourself. See yourself clearly as that healing light, the healing presence in the world that the world needs so very much. Fill your being. Or better yet, recognize that your being is already filled with that light. For you to expand, to give, to celebrate. To be grateful. What an amazing light you are. What an amazing life you are. So breathe that light deeply into your heart space, filling up your body with that light. Changed. You are light, you are love. So breathe that fully into your body. Begin to bring yourself back to this space. Let's anchor our gratitude, knowing that we are the light, we are the life. Full voices. Alleluia.